you validate their hate and fears, and it's music to their white ears. And then they say,
hey, he's just being real.
Cause this suckers for you.
It's very sad.
It was a very easy, comfortable character for me. And I thought, oh, this is who my inner man is here. You know, and my motto was, instead of being an angry woman, I became a funny man.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. I'm Lucy Chappell. Japan elects gay activists to upper house, Randy Rainbow reams Trump toadies, and Moby Dick drags politics into performance. Those stories and more this week, because you've chosen This Way Out.
I'm Jessica Andrea.
And I'm Christopher Gall.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBTQ communities around the world for the week ending July 27th, 2019. Japan has its first proudly gay national lawmaker. Taiga Ishikawa rode his activism for LGBTQ rights to his election to the upper house of the nation's parliament, or Diet. He's a member of the opposition left-of-center Constitutional Democratic Party. Marriage equality was one of his major campaign themes. He said he was calling for the acknowledgement of LGBT people in the election. He proclaimed that his victory acknowledges that we are here. The country's first transgender assemblywoman is also from his party. Even though consensual adult same-gender sex has been legal since 1880, it still challenges the socially conservative country's norms to be openly queer. Japan's governing right-leaning Liberal Democratic Party has consistently rebuffed any effort to expand LGBTQ rights. The 45-year-old activist-turned-lawmaker said he would push for federal anti-discrimination protections for LGBTQ people. The Japan Federation of Bar Associations joined Ishikawa's call for marriage equality in an opinion paper submitted to the government on July 25th. In it, the prestigious group charged that denying civil marriage to same-gender couples is a serious violation of human rights. Ishikawa told news agencies that he's certain that marriage equality will come to Japan within the 6 years of his term. Kanako Itsuji is Japan's first out lesbian lawmaker. She introduced a marriage equality bill in the Diet in June. Several queer couples who have been denied the right to civil marriage are taking the judicial route to challenge the federal government. The latest polls reveal overwhelming public support for marriage equality in Japan. More than 75% of respondents favor it.
The Conservative Party named Boris Johnson to succeed the United Kingdom's outgoing Prime Minister Theresa May this week. The Tories' pick has been compared to U.S. President Donald Trump for his often bumbling ways, his sometimes hard right positions, and his hair. May's inability to get approval for a deal for the U.K. to exit the European Union led to her resignation. Johnson was an avid supporter of Brexit. He vows to work out a deal with the EU by the October 31st exit date. Johnson referenced LGBTQ rights in his first speech as prime minister, but critics are calling his newly appointed cabinet the most anti-human rights in decades. He replaced 17 ministers from May's administration, mostly with socially conservative Brexit supporters. The Guardian newspaper said that five of his cabinet members had voted against marriage equality in 2013. While Johnson's cabinet does include openly gay MP Connor Burns as Minister of State for International Trade, that may not help. Burns made waves in 2012 by opposing marriage equality on religious grounds. He claimed that there was no clamor for this at all within the gay community. Former London Mayor Johnson has referred to gay people as tank top bum boys. He's accused the opposition Labour Party of encouraging the teaching of homosexuality in schools. He's compared the weddings of lesbian and gay couples to three men and a dog. Veteran British human rights campaigner Peter Tatchell said that Johnson's past insulting utterances count against him. Tatchell called Johnson's record on LGBTQ rights mixed at best.
The first step toward marriage equality may have been taken this week in Bulgaria. The country's Supreme Administrative Court ruled on July 24th that the 2016 legal marriage of a lesbian couple in France must be recognized. Australian Christina Palma and Frenchwoman Mariama Diallo now live in Bulgaria, a member of the European Union. EU regulations state that all countries must recognize the legal marriages of same-gender couples in other member states, even if marriage equality is denied domestically. The Supreme Administrative Court ruling cannot be appealed. The couple lodged their demand for legal recognition in their country of residence almost 2 years ago. They applauded Bulgarians for giving them more than they expected. In a media statement, they said, "People have been warm, supportive, and received us like a family in so many ways." They added, "Love moves, courage leads, and hope should always prevail for the changes that are in our hands." Their attorney told reporters that the court's recognition of the legal overseas marriages of same-gender couples could make a case for marriage equality for the Eastern European nation's own citizens. A major LGBTQ equality index has ranked Bulgaria 37th among 49 European countries.
A gay man is suing the Caribbean nation of Dominica over its laws criminalizing same-gender sex by consenting adults. The island is home to about 73,000 mostly Christian people of African descent. Dominica gained its independence from the UK in 1978. Convictions under the laws enacted in 1873 against buggery and gross indecency can bring up to 12 years in prison and forced psychiatric confinement. The plaintiff charges that those laws violate Dominica's constitutional rights to freedom of expression, privacy, and freedom from inhumane or degrading punishment. Those charges are dramatized by his decision to protect his safety by remaining anonymous. The gay plaintiff is getting help from the group Minority Rights Dominica. Canadian groups including the HIV/AIDS Legal Network and the University of Toronto's International Human Rights Program are also lending support. So is the global human rights group Lawyers Without Borders. The plaintiff's advocates charge that he has experienced homophobic hostility, discrimination, harassment, threats, and physical and sexual assaults fueled by these hateful laws. They cite one specific incident when he was savagely attacked in his own home, yet police refused to investigate and allowed his attacker to remain free.
There was a refreshing change from the frequent arrests of LGBTQ people trying to hold peaceful pride events in former Soviet satellite nations. Police in Bialystok, Poland, arrested more than 20 homophobic hooligans on July 20th who were throwing rocks, bottles, and flash bombs at the city's very first pride parade. About 1,000 pride participants marched. Close to 4,000 people protested. Opponents shouted, "Bialystok, free of perverts." Pride marchers countered, "Poland free of fascists." The city in northeastern Poland is considered to be an especially conservative area in the predominantly Roman Catholic country. According to a report by Gay Star News, many of the Bialystok anti-queer protesters are planning to go protest the first Pride March in the central Polish city of Płock. It's scheduled for August 10th.
Here's the latest on some stories we've been following. On July 22nd, Britain's House of Lords endorsed a bill that forces marriage equality in Northern Ireland by January 2020 if local lawmakers fail to do it themselves. The bill had already passed in the House of Commons. The contentious and dysfunctional Northern Ireland Assembly has stalemated over marriage equality and relaxing abortion laws. Northern Ireland-born MP Conor McGinn sponsored the original Commons measure. Celebrating with other queer rights activists this week, McGinn proclaimed that in just a few months, LGBT people will be able to marry in Belfast just as they already can in Cardiff, Edinburgh, London, or Dublin.
Transgender people and their advocates won a significant legal victory in the U.S. this week. A federal judge has signed off on a legal settlement regarding North Carolina's infamous bathroom bill. The original measure, passed by the state's Republican-dominated legislature, forced trans people to use public bathrooms and similar public facilities consistent with their gender at birth. The new agreement allows trans people to use the facilities that match their gender identity. However, it only applies to buildings under the control of the executive branch. The deal was struck with Democratic Governor Roy Cooper, who replaced anti-queer Republican Pat McCrory. Local anti-bias ordinances are still prohibited by state law.
Puerto Rico's embattled Governor Ricardo Rosselló has finally resigned. Rosselló said in a video posted on social media that he would leave office on August 2nd. The governor has been the target of massive historic protests in the streets of San Juan and elsewhere. It began with leaked internal communications between him and some of his cabinet members in Inner Circle. They revealed offensive comments about Puerto Rican-born pop star Ricky Martin and other crude references to gay male sex. There were also misogynistic comments that included calling New York City Council Speaker Melissa Mark Viverito a whore. Protesters also condemned Rosello's complicity in the Trump administration's failed response to Hurricane Maria in 2017. Ricky Martin's high-profile participation in the street protests may have elevated coverage of them. There's been a suggestion that Martin himself should run for governor.
And finally, Republican Texas Governor Greg Abbott signed a bill this week that purports to save Chick-fil-A. The Republican majority legislature passed the measure to protect the fundamentalist Christian-owned fast food chain from discrimination based on its owners' religious beliefs. Rejections of the multi-billion dollar chain's bids for franchise space in at least two major airports in the U.S. and bans or evictions on a few college campuses prompted the move. The bill will protect the chain's major donations to notoriously anti-queer groups and programs, including screeds against marriage equality. It forbids government entities from taking any adverse action based wholly or partly on a person's sincerely held religious belief or moral conviction, including beliefs or convictions regarding marriage. Pink News wins this week's headline award. Texas governor signs bill banning discrimination against homophobes.
That's News Wrap, global queer news with attitude for the week ending July 27th, 2019. Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap is written by Greg Gordon, edited by Lucia Chappell, produced by Brian DeShazor, recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles, and brought to you by you.
Help keep us in ears around the world at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast and much more.
And you can listen to News Wrap each week by subscribing to our This Way Out radio YouTube channel. For This Way Out, I'm Jessica Andrea.
And I'm Christopher Gall.
I had just purchased from a thrift shop a bowling shirt that said Dick on it. It was just the natural extension, pardon the pun, of Moby Dick.
We'll dive into the world of drag kings later in the program, but first, the queen of RandyRainbow.com has another song for the season.
Joining me now is White Nationalist Weekly Centerfold and President of the United States, Donald Jessica Trump. Mr. President, you have a long history of using race and ethnicity as a political wedge, but it seems you have now gone full Archie Bunker.
And yet I won, and I'll win again.
Your Twitter attacks on four Democratic congresswomen of color incited xenophobic chants at a rally you recently held.
It's very sad.
Well, what's really sad is that your poll numbers seem to have gone up and, you know, you still have a strong support system. I mean, who the hell are these people?
If you look at Twitter, I have millions and millions of people on Twitter.
Ariana Grande has more.
And I never get good press. I mean, I haven't had a good story. I used to get the best press of the world. You remember the old days when I was an entrepreneur. I used to get great press. Now I get because of what I stand for, represent.
Intolerance, bigotry, and the all-day breakfast menu at McDonald's?
And nobody's ever had, I think, 93%. It came out the other day, 93%. And I'm talking about stories that should be good, they make them bad, or...
You're freaking crazy. Inhuman, merciless, extreme, and unfiltered. Oh, and also lazy. Yeah. So I can't help but be just slightly bewildered.
And I'll win again.
That your followers stick with you, whatever the hell you do. No matter how hard you screw them, they won't quit. Girl, your presidency's a mess, your policies are BS, but they let you get away with it. Cause they're suckers for you. I guess it pays to be conniving and cunning, cause they're suckers for you. Suckers for all of the criminal shame-worthy things that you do. Cause they're suckers for you.
I'm glad that the president said what he said.
They've all been blinded. They think it's fine that you take climate change lightly. And they don't mind it. That you have phone sex with Sean Hannity nightly. They love your racist, sexist chants, your monosyllabic rants. If you can't keep it in your pants, it's no big deal. You validate their hate and fears, and it's music to their white ears. And then they say, hey, he's just being real.
Cause they're suckers for you.
When you say stupid things, they rush to explain them. Cause they're suckers for you.
New Jersey.
And all the subliminal rays fading for you do.
So they're suckers for you.
And as we look ahead to 2020, I'm joined now by a very special guest, Senator Lindsey Graham, circa 2015. LG, what's your take on Donald Trump and the rhetoric he uses to rile his base?
The way he is conducting himself is contrary to the values I hold as a Republican, and I think most of us accept as a nation. And I will not be part of this.
And if you'll excuse me, Senator, I'd now like to welcome a very special guest, Senator from South Carolina and Patti LuPone enthusiast, present-day Lindsey Graham.
Thank you.
Lindsey, what is your take on Donald Trump's racist rhetoric?
I think the president did a fabulous job of talking about this problem. He did it in a smart way, in a compassionate way. Mr. President, you're the right guy at the right time. You can do it. Nobody else has been able to do it, and I want to help you.
So awkward.
They love your incoherent tweets, the hamburgers that you eat. They worship down at your feet like sewer rats. You could kick puppies till they cried, or make Kim Jong Un your bride, and they'd all still rock their MAGA hats, 'cause they're suckers for you. And all the empty broken promises you made, they're just suckers for you. You got them thirsty and they're drinking your Kool-Aid. Girl, they're suckers for all the things that you're putting us through.
Fuck you.
And they love how you stick up for bros, call me criminal fools.
Oh, like you, 'cause they're suckers for you.
It's a terrible thing that's taking place.
They're all suckers for you. Yeah, they're suckers for you.
And I'll win again.
You can see the entire video version of Randy Rainbow's Suckers at thiswayout.org.
If I were a frog, here is what I would say. It's hard being green. It's hard being gay.
Hi, this is Janice Ian, and you're listening to This Way Out. Support your local public radio station. You ain't gonna get this nowhere else.
So much cooler online.
There's nothing cooler than the world's only international LGBT radio magazine.
Unless it's thiswayout.org.
At thiswayout.org, you'll find program information,
related videos,
expanded features,
news wrap transcripts,
and CDs and downloadable material.
It might not be cooler than radio,
but there's much more This Way Out at thiswayout.org.
Drag queens get most of the spotlight, but drag kings have been on the stage for just as long. A founding father of the new drag king generation spoke with This Way Out's Michelle Marie Gilkison about the scene's performance and politics.
My name is Mo Fisher. I go by drag king Mo B. Dick, spelled Mo B. period D-I-C-K.
How did you get started in drag?
The summer of 95 I spent in Provincetown, Massachusetts. And I'd met a couple drag kings there. They were performing there all summer, Julie Wheeler and someone who went by the name Buster Hyman. Buster Hyman did this amazing Jim Morrison impression, and it was really interesting, and it was a lot of fun. I was really impressed by it, but I thought, I had some stereotypes about it. I thought, well, you have to be butch, you have to be a lesbian, you have to be certain things in order to be a drag king. So I thought, oh, well, I could never do that. I then got this ticket on Amtrak that was unlimited stopping all around America. It was only $300. It was cool. And when I got to San Francisco, a friend of mine had saved an article that was in the San Francisco Weekly, and it was about the local drag king scene there. They had featured someone who didn't fit the stereotype, bisexual, married to a man, secretary by day, and drag king by night. And the transformation was astounding. I expanded my thinking. And when I got back to New York, well, let me try this. I did a lot of research going back into history and looking at who were the pioneers who donned a suit and a mustache. And, you know, some of it was for survival and, as we know, lesbian history. Some of it was for performance sake. I hope the baby dykes of today know their history.
One thing that I love about drag are all of the endless possibilities when it comes to character. Moby Dick is this crass, super macho guy. How did you develop his persona?
I just got my hair cut and I wore my hair short anyhow. I had my hair clippings, went over to a drag queen's friend's house, Mistress Formica, who hailed New York, was this amazing, amazing drag queen. All he had was eyelash glue. So we put some on, made some facial hair, very baggy jeans to minimize my girly figure, a ski cap on. And I had just purchased from a thrift shop a bowling shirt that said Dick on it. It was just the natural extension, pardon the pun, of Moby Dick. I went out to a local lesbian bar called Meow Mix, had a ball. My friends there couldn't recognize me. They were like, what? That's not Mo. No way. Through the help of Mistress Formica, I was trying out different personas. Tried on kind of the East Village grunge guy, kind of hipster, and that didn't work. And just different sailor, you know what I mean? So it was rough trade. And it was the gay, lesbian, bi, trans film festival called Mix. I was asked to perform. So I created this monologue, really heinous guy, just the schmuck of a guy, a dick. Through the monologue, I was feigning sickness and I transformed myself into a human fly. And then I lip synced to the song by Cramps called Human Fly. So the subtext of that, men like that are pests. It was a very easy, comfortable character for me. And I thought, oh, this is who my inner man is here. You know, and my motto was, instead of being an angry woman, I became a funny man.
Talk some more about the relationship between everyday anger and Mo's character. What are some of the issues you see yourself addressing in your performance?
More feminist things, the right and privilege of being a woman on the street and feeling safe. That was one of the things that made me most angry in New York City, because walking around there, you're target as a woman. When I was in drag, I thought, oh my God, I'm not getting accosted, verbally accosted. In fact, what happened was men would be like, hey, how you doing? I went, whoa, wait, wait, there's this whole international men's club I don't know anything about. So addressing the issues, just taking up space in the subway where men would keep their legs open, and anatomically I can understand, but if a woman wants to sit down, you got to move their legs in order to sit down, and just a different sense of entitlement. Putting that on stage, it gave me freedom and permission to express myself in whatever way I wanted. I was an aggressive child, and being an aggressive female child is frowned upon. Then as an aggressive woman, how do you navigate those waters? You're called a bitch. Oh, she's a dyke. Why can't a woman be aggressive, addressing those issues in a comedic way. John Waters had called me a sexual terrorist in a funny way, but he did so because I would get straight women, gay women, bi men, and straight men and gay men, which was a huge fan base, just confused and looking and, you know, having that desire, yet not quite sure what that meant. And that was actually the most fun.
I want to hear more about your gay male fan base.
Oh, God, that was so funny. I remember going to Squeeze Box, which was this really, really fun rock and roll party that was happening in Tribeca, where Mistress Formica had performed and reigned as the premier rock and roll drag queen. And being cruised by a gay man is like nothing you will ever experience. The laser eyes, where you can just feel the burning sensation go up and down your body. That was really fun. I remember standing there going, oh my God, I'd be cruised by so many gay men right now. And my friend Mario saying, just be cool, just be cool. I remember too, very clearly being in the subway in New York, and this man was cruising me, and I had a stack of flyers for my party. And so I handed him a flyer, then got off the subway and turned around, and the look on his face, he looks at the flyer and then looks out the window, and he just was astonished. I fooled him.
Tell us about Club Casanova.
The first actually internationally known weekly drag king party that was in East Village, New York City from 96 to 97. And it only lasted 2 years because at that time, Mayor Giuliani was instrumental in closing a lot of clubs and bars, targeting people for dancing. I mean, something really ludicrous, just whitewashing all of New York City. Woke up in the middle of the night and said, Club Casanova, that's the name. I got it together. You walked in, there was a drag king at the door collecting money. There were drag king go-go dancers. There was a drag king DJ. DJ and a drag king show. It wasn't a hit at first. We went through different venues trying to find the right fit. It lasted at Cake. That was the third place that we went to, and it was a total hit there and garnered a lot of international attention. Because being New York City, people always come in and they want to see what's the latest. It was actually a dump of a bar in East Village. It would make me laugh because I thought, oh my God, people are coming here from Australia, from Austria, from Japan, from Germany. I mean, from all over the world. They're looking around going, what? Because it was such a dump of a bar, but they got this whole drag king experience and were blown away. It was pretty exciting at that time.
And what happened next?
I took the show on the road in spring of 98, and that was the first ever drag king tour of US and Canada. People were intrigued. They'd never seen, never even heard or thought about anything like this. Then the next tour we did was 2001, and that was amazing seeing the progression of the drag king scene, because 98 was the advent of the drag king book. With all of that came burgeoning of drag king communities and scenes around the world. 2001, 9/11 had happened. We left New York City a week to the day after it. I was really struggling with, gosh, should we do this tour? And, you know, I had a resounding yes from all across the country. We need your laughter. We need to know New York's okay. Oh, I get chills when I talk about it. So I think doing drag is political by nature. When we traveled, we were talking about, on behalf of the men of Club Casanova, we do not support the war. So we said, no blood for oil. We had that sign on our van throughout the entire tour. And when we got to Arizona, we performed firstly in Tucson, and then we moved on to Phoenix the next night. The owner of the clubs, she called me on the way after the Tucson show and said, I don't want you to mention anything about your political stance and about the war. I was shocked. Are you actually censoring me? Screw that. I'm going to speak my mind. And so I did it in a roundabout way. I think I made reference to Bush being pubic hair in a funny way. We're not for Bush. I'm not saying you have to shave, but you know, it was just kind of pandered to that. And the next tour, we were not invited back. I didn't care. To me, I thought that was a really important thing to do.
You said that drag is political by nature. How so?
What's political to someone is someone else's daily life. For someone who is butch, is it political for them to dress in a suit every day? Maybe not. That's who they are. But for me, being femme, to put on a suit, that's political. It makes people question their preconceived notions of gender, of what is fixed and what is not. It becomes confusing for people. Is it easy for them to answer those questions? I don't think so. And I think that's good.
For This Way Out, this is Michelle Marie Gilkison.
Learn more about the Drag Kingdom at Moby Dick and Ken Vegas's DragKingHistory.com. Thanks for choosing This Way Out, brought to you by the nonprofit Overnight Productions. Some program material this week came from Jessica Andrea and Christopher Gall, produced by Brian DeShazer, and from Michelle Marie Gilkison. Randy Rainbow, Brad Paisley, and The Cramps performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out thanks the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation, the Ivana Foundation, the estate of Christopher David Trentum, Richard Merck and Brad Payton of Silicon Valley, and all of the listener donors who make this program possible. Look for This Way Out Radio on social media, email tworadio@aol.com, or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California, 90078, USA. For coordinating producer Greg Gordon and all of us at This Way Out, I'm Lucia Chappell. Thanks for listening online at thiswayout.org and on KEUL Girdwood, Alaska, WWUH West Hartford, Connecticut, CFUV Victoria, British Columbia, and some 200 stations and other outlets around the world, including this one. Now y'all stay tuned.